Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento is facing an ongoing homelessness crisis that touches all ages. As we have shared numerous times on Insight, the county has experienced a 67% increase between 2019 and 2022. And of the 9,000 people experiencing homelessness on any given night, and that is a conservative number, 15% of those are families with children. As one of the largest school districts in our area, Sac City Unified has been working to help unhoused students and their families, from free meals over the summer to winter jacket collections when the weather turns cold. But this month, the district is adding a new program that underscores how great the need is now. It's a hygiene drive to collect donations, ranging from soaps to shampoos, toothpaste, diapers, tampons, and socks, as well as much more. Joining us now to talk more about the drive and the ongoing efforts to help those in need is Ashley Powers Clark, the Homeless Education Services Program Coordinator for Sac City Unified. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning, Vicky. Thank you for having me.
You know, each school district is unique, especially when it comes to demographics. So let's start off with the population, the student body that Sac City Unified serves. There's more than 40,000 students in the district.
Absolutely. So we are truly a microcosm of the entire world. So we have, you know, our immigrant communities, our diaspora communities, our Afghan, our Asian, our Black communities. We have really a cross-section of the whole world right here in our city and right here in our district. And our unhoused population is a part of that. And it's, you know, homelessness cross-cuts all demographics, right, all ethnicities. So we see that represented in all of our populations.
Yeah, I remembered when covering the district early on as a reporter, and this is before the pandemic, you know, I believe two-thirds of students are on free or reduced lunch. And now I imagine following the pandemic, obviously with the income and cost of living challenges in our area, which has contributed to a 67% increase in people experiencing homelessness, you know, how has that impacted Sac City Unified, the students and their families?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the free and reduced priced meal population, because it's estimated that about 10% of that free and reduced priced meal population also qualifies as unhoused. So as a school district, we have kind of a broader definition of what it means to be unhoused. So if you are doubled up, meaning you lost your housing and then you're in, you know, you have to go share housing with a friend and you're in overcrowded housing. If you're living, you know, in a place that is not meant for human habitation, so things like cars, tents, you know, train stations, that kind of thing. Hotels, motels, shelters also qualify. So when we think about that larger population, it's estimated that probably in our district, there's probably about 3,500 unhoused students. However, identifying and doing outreach to our unhoused students remains to be a real challenge. So we've seen our numbers go up. So we have about 959 identified in our system. And I took a look this morning just getting ready for this interview, and we're already up to about 1,300 just in our outreach efforts this year. So thinking about the unhoused crisis and thinking about how, you know, our numbers have just skyrocketed, where we have, you know, more unhoused people here in Sacramento than we do in San Francisco. And a significant portion of that population, right, is our children and families. And those children and families, you know, it's our responsibility to try to get them to school every day and make sure that they have the things that they need to succeed. School is really... It is a saving grace for unhoused families, right? It is a point of stability that even if you lose your housing, right, you can still, if you can stay connected to your school, we are able to serve those families in some really profound ways. So, you know, maintaining connections to your friends, to your teachers, getting breakfast, getting lunch, and you can also qualify to get supper. You can stay in the after-school program and be in a safe place for 10 hours. So I truly believe that, you know, of all the institutions in the school district, we are just so well situated to be able to have a real impact on these families' lives.
Yeah, it is so much more than a classroom and academics. You know, they're really like the nucleus of communities when it comes to schools. How long have you been involved with serving some of the most vulnerable students, those experiencing housing instability or experiencing homelessness within Sac City Unified?
Yeah, so I've been with the district for about 7 years, and I've been a homeless education liaison for about 11 years. Most recently, I was working really on the ground during the pandemic, trying to organize programs for our unhoused students. So I had the opportunity with some community partners to be involved in sort of the upstart of the Motel Voucher Program, which has been an incredible success and such an asset for our families. I've also worked, you know, as an organizer for unhoused families. I really believe that we are each other's best resource. So in that regard, I've helped to organize a program with Alchemist Community Development Corporation that where volunteers bring families boxes of food every week. So volunteer drivers go out into the community and take five or six boxes to families, some of whom are unhoused, just so that we can make sure that, one, we're supporting each other, and two, the most important thing about resources, especially for our unhoused families, is that people have predictable and consistent access to the things they need. So when we can do that direct, you know, person-to-person outreach, it's so incredibly effective. So, yeah, I've been in a professional capacity, been a homeless liaison for a long time, and then also just really have a passion for this issue and have a background in community organizing. So I kind of leverage that just to help us build our programs and strategies.
Well, and that leads me to this drive that we're going to be talking about, because I've heard of like winter jacket collections, food drives, and other programs like that. But this was the first time I heard of a hygiene drive within Sac City Unified. Has this been done before?
It has not been done before, and I would love to say it was my idea, but it wasn't. We have an amazing communications team. So Nikki, our community engagement manager, just, you know, and this is the thing, like when people hear what you're doing and they hear about your population, the more conversations we have about this, everybody's ready to dive in and support. And that's exactly what happened with our communications department. So she said, hey, do you have the bandwidth to do a hygiene drive? And we were like, absolutely, please help us make it happen. Because when we think about hygiene items, it might not necessarily come to the fore. You think about, you know, clothes, or you think about food. Hygiene items are so critical because parents take pride in what their kids look like, right? We see our kids as a reflection of us. And so enabling families to be able to have clean clothes, to be able to make sure your kids' teeth are brushed and their hair looks nice when they go to school, that's so important to our families. And it's so important to our children. You know, one of the things that we don't think about is that importance of having dignity. So how do we help our children and families show up to school, even when you're coming from these impossible situations, show up to school and have a sense of dignity in who you are and how you look? Because when that doesn't happen, you know, the results can be so difficult for our children. You know, kids get bullied. They get bullied. It happens. And if you don't smell good, or you look dirty, or you look different, you know, kids are going to pick up on that. And kids are wonderful. I love them to the bottom of my heart. And they, you know, and they're also learning how to relate to one another. And sometimes those things happen.
It can be rough.
Yeah, it's rough out there. So I think that the hygiene drive can help us address this really critical need. You know, as a department, we literally can't keep these things on the shelf. They're going out to our school sites in large quantities all the time.
We're going to listen to two parents who are benefiting from, you know, this hygiene drive and other services that the district is offering to families that are facing housing instability or experiencing homelessness. You know, how did you get them to open up and be vulnerable? Because, you know, when talking about, you know, something as difficult as having housing instability, you talk about the dignity aspect. You know, people don't always want to open up and share that part of their lives. How did you get them to talk?
Yeah, so the families that you're going to hear from are families that we have connected with and have been supporting for years. One of the things that we help to assure families is that, you know, being homeless is not a crime, that there is welfare and institution codes that protect you from being reported to CPS, because that's a huge fear that a lot of our families have. So honestly, it is one phone call, one act of support at a time, and over a long period of time, you can build that relationship and that trust. And that's what we hope to do with all of our families. But these two families that you're going to hear from, you know, have really special and unique stories.
Well, let's start with Tiffany McDaniel. What would you like us to know about Tiffany?
Tiffany is she's an amazing, resilient human. Right now, she is unhoused. She has 4 school-aged children and is a single mom, you know, living in an RV. And I think the important thing to sort of foreground about these stories is that oftentimes the causes of homelessness, we think in the grand scale of like, oh, rent is going up and we know how expensive things are. But in each of these cases, it was a tragedy that led to these women becoming homeless. So in the case of Tiffany, you know, her husband was killed and then she didn't have money to pay her rent. And so she literally just up and left with all of her kids and bought an RV and is still there today.
Let's take a listen to Tiffany describing just the challenges about getting her kids to school clean.
Yeah.
If my kids went to school every day, because it's hard trying to get to and from school, being homeless. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't want to send my kids to school dirty. I don't want to send my kids to school in dirty clothes or smelling funny. Like, that's not me.
And that really underscores, Ashley, you know, as you're talking about, you remind us about, you know, school is a wonderful, stable place for a lot of families, but it also can be rough for kids, you know, when you talk about getting bullied, as well as just wanting that dignity component. And so Tiffany really underscores what you were explaining.
Yeah, absolutely. Just that importance of, right, of presenting her children in a way that reflects who she is.
Yeah. Let's also take a listen to Tiffany. I mean, you mentioned that her partner was killed. And so mm-hmm. that really was the precipice of what really catapulted them into homelessness. So Tiffany was describing how she was forced to leave her previous life and just everything behind.
Mm-hmm. I can't pay the rent. I'm out of here. I left everything. Everything that I worked hard to get, my bedroom set, their bunk bed set, their clothes, their everything, everything. We got in the car and left with what we had on our back. And so we had the motorhome, the canopy thing that goes out for the outside where so you can be outside when it rains, fell off, the door fell off. So now we just have the screen door. So I just parked my truck right against the screen door and I let the kids go inside and sleep, and I'll sleep in the backseat of my truck. And I decide normally to stay up all night and make sure my kids are okay. And then when it starts to get morning time, I'll go to sleep.
She stays up all night.
Yeah, I mean, when you have an RV that just has a screen door on it, I think, you know, as a mom, you want to be that physical protection for your kids. And so she's on watch, she's on alert all night, making sure her kids are safe.
You know, oftentimes, like, there's a moral component can be attached to people experiencing homelessness. But I think what people need to understand as well, like, especially in Tiffany's case, and this is just one example, like, there are a tragic set of circumstances. And I've had these conversations multiple times on Insight. Just, you know, it could be a medical bill. You know, it could be a car repair. It could be, you know, just something that seems inconvenient that can really be like the camel that broke or the straw that broke the camel's back.
Absolutely. And when you see particularly our unhoused populations, but then also just our community in general that we serve in Sac City, those safety nets are so fragile, right? And so, you know, not only public assistance and even, you know, food stamps, CalFresh right now is not going as far as it used to. So we saw our COVID benefits get cut from CalFresh, and now grocery prices are really high.
It's inflation, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think all of those external circumstances are stretching that safety net so much that it's breaking, you know? And then, you know, our unhoused families, they also, it's like those, they have family, but the family they have, they love each other, but they may not have the concrete resources that you need in those types of crises to help stabilize a situation.
The next family we're going to meet is Alicia and her children. How did you come to meet Alicia? What would you like us to know about her?
So I came to know Alicia because I was I had the privilege of doing parking lot duty at the elementary school, Oak Ridge Elementary School, I used to work at for 5 years. And it was obvious by looking at their car when they were coming in the parking lot that they were unhoused. So they were very skeptical to work with us at first. We had to build trust with the family. And a lot of times that trust just happens from a concrete resource like, hey, here's a gas card, you know, come back tomorrow. Pull over. Let's see if we can talk. And those things happen slowly. So eventually Alicia was able to open up and trust us. And Alicia is, you know, she's a single mom. And right now she's living with her 3 school age children and had spent a significant amount of time living in an SUV with those children, you know, parked right outside, you know, parked right near the school at a park.
Yeah, and Alicia talks to you about how she became homeless, unhoused after going through a traumatic car accident.
In 2020, I was in a real bad car accident. August 1st of 2020. Before then, I was working, just self-sufficient, you know, And I was hit by a drunk driver that left me in a coma for a whole month. Everything on my right side was broken.
I mean, you just think about that. And I think about the time when that happened as well, August of 2020. And it would probably, I would imagine, be even more difficult to get connected to those safety nets, you know, when that happened, as well as a single parent with three children.
Yeah. And in that case, from the school's perspective, it was like we hadn't seen her kids, you know, and in that time it was that we had to log on to school, but we hadn't seen them for months. And so eventually when they got stabilized and they were placed in a ground floor apartment, we were able to do some research and figure out what our research means. Like, we just talk to people in the community or go house to house and try to find people. So when she came back, when she was reconnected to the school, it was, you know, it was a relief for us knowing where that she was still. That she was there, you know, because a lot of times with our unhoused populations, it can feel like these kids that you really care about just disappear, and we don't always have connections with them. But yeah, in the case of Alicia, you know, she was moved from her second floor apartment where she was working and paying the bills, you know, and self-sufficient, as she said, and it was just one car accident, right? One tragic car accident that turned her whole life upside down. So she was placed in a ground floor apartment because she, you know, had some significant just physical damage to the right side of her body. And from there, it's like you're no longer able to work in the same way that you used to be. And so then all of a sudden, the income that you have is, right, your disability check, maybe your CalWORKs, maybe your CalFresh, and that's just not enough to make it. And so you see now, now you have a woman with a disability who has a child with a disability, three kids with, and three kids living in that SUV because that's the only option we have. Mm-hmm. She had, and she is in the city's motel voucher program right now. So that was an incredible asset in this situation, just being able to get her out of the car and off the street and into that motel room.
Well, let's listen to also how, like, the programs that the district offers, how mm-hmm. that has really been just transformative for her and her children.
The program was so beautiful. It made it hard not to have your kids at school. I mean, that it's like accommodating, like, in every way. You got your food, you got your necessities, you got a whole food locker in there, from water, from clothes, to socks, to just the whole everything. It makes it hard not to stay linked in with your school.
So that brings me to the hygiene drive, and I think it's important to end with this. If people want to donate essentials at the Cerna Center, which is part of the district, it's on 47th Avenue, what should people bring?
Honestly, we need everything. So everything you could think of that to keep your kids clean. So shampoo, conditioner, lotion, diapers, baby wipes, deodorant, toothbrushes, toothpaste. I mean, go through your morning routine, look at what you do, and know that everybody else wants to do the same thing for those kids. So we're hoping that people can donate, and that we have a big blue bucket out at Cerna. We're hoping that is overflowing because those things, they really help. You know, you mentioned the homeless services program. We're really in this space of trying to adapt to this new reality, which is, you know, homelessness on a scale that we have never seen. And so it begs a question of a school district, and it begs a question of us as a community. How are we going to change in this moment, right? How are we going to adapt to the new reality that we see? And as a homeless education services office, we serve as the hub to distribute you know, clothes and food and hygiene items. We also help to coordinate transportation with students. So if you get displaced from your school, we coordinate transportation to make sure that you can stay there. So we're really kind of the hub that's helping to organize these services and these programs. And so it's critical to donate to our program, especially at this time. And also just to get involved in general. You know, we always need volunteers to help bring food boxes to families, to help us organize. Organizing a clothing closet is a huge effort and a real big resource for our families, so we need people to get involved with that. You know, the best things, we are the best resources in our community, each other, as, you know, person to person, organization to organization. And so, you know, I really believe that by building these, you know, networks of mutual assistance, that's the way we're going to adapt and survive, you know, this new reality, because because it is, you know, we want to do more than survive. But for a lot of people, it is just about survival on a day to day.
Takes a village. And thank you so much, Ashley, for being part of that village.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Ashley Powers-Clark is the Homeless Education Services Program Coordinator for Sacramento City Unified School District. And we have been talking about their ongoing hygiene drive. You can drop off hygienic essentials at Cerna Center. That's off 47th Avenue through December 22nd. And we have more information on our Insight page as well. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.